We went on to speak about the miracles of Jesus. We focused on Mark 2:1-12, the paralyzed man, and the miraculous healing. Then John 6:1-14, feeding 5,000 people with only 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish.
Lastly, we learned about Luke 19:1-9.
Zacchaeus, you come down right now. All right.
I think they've done great. I think they've definitely understood all the messages. They're enjoying themselves. They're having fun. They're encouraging each other. I was going to end there, however, there's one more thing that I'm super proud of them for, and they don't even know that this slide is up, but we have been sponsoring a child, Aiden, in Pakistan, and these children have literally had the most generous hearts I've seen. They want to empty their piggy banks and give it all. They want to do chores all week to earn money for him, and again, something that's just so rewarding to see in little children who normally just want to buy something for themselves. Here we are raising them to be what Jesus would want to see. So we actually wound up, they had a goal of $30 for the month, $10 for each classroom, definitely a realistic goal. And what I saw, you know, them to try and a dollar a week to try and compete for. And they wound up going above my barometer that I made. I only set it to $25 for each classroom, and all three of them blew it up, and we wound up raising $153.
Oh yeah, her heart's racing, man. She's going a mile a minute.
Right.
While the ushers get ready to take off, maybe we can shift some of this stuff back up. That was great. We're going to be doing this occasionally. Every cycle that the children go through and learn things, they're going to, within 7 or 6, 7, 8 weeks, they're going to come up and they're going to share it with us. It's great to see you all here. You did the thing with the clock, right?
Yes.
Right. That's why you're here. So it's great to share this time with you. We're going to take our offering, and then we're going to move right into worship. Let's say a word of prayer before the ushers come. Father, we just thank you for what we have just seen. Lord, there is so much that the children teach us, oh God, if we would just open our eyes. I think, Lord, that's why you said, let the little children come to me. Lord, because I think that your kingdom is definitely made up of such as these little ones. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh God, that we too would learn from them, oh God. Lord, I thank you for blessing this time. Lord, now bless the offering as we commit it into your hands so that we might continue to do your will and to provide for others. In Christ's name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. I wish all of you back there could be where I am and listening to these children, my brothers and my sisters, punching out the music this morning in worship. I'm just grateful to be able to catch it and hear it. Well, as we're going to continue down this Lenten journey of a give and take, part of the Lenten journey is a time where we kind of learn and experience to do without, which really at times is a part of our everyday living, as much as these are times where we would not have preferred or chose to experience. we at times do have to go through times of doing without. Made me think back to a time, but presently, before I touch on that, we see it the minute we turn it on the news in our lives today. Think about what's happening over in the rest of the world, with people being displaced from their homes, from their towns, from their entire culture, and being moved across and traveling across other borders. And sometimes they're welcomed, but quite often they are unwelcomed visitors. These are people who are learning to live without and do without roofs over their heads, adequate food and facilities, things that you and I take for granted, walking into the bathroom and closing the door behind us, having a place, a simple table and chair to sit at. A lot of people today are being displaced and they are not having those simple luxuries in their lives. But this week I was thinking about back to another time, even before my time, before I was born, and most of us here, back to a time of the Great Depression in our world. My parents went through that. My mom was 8 years old when the Depression hit, from 1929 to 1941, and my dad was 18. And so I thought I'd share a few photos today. These are photos that our nation experienced, that they went through. Selling apples for 5 cents so someone could have an apple to eat while someone has a nickel to spend on something else. You know, this is times that people have learned to do without and experienced hardship. And again, it's not times that you and I would choose to go through, but sometimes we do. And sometimes we struggle through those times to try to wonder, is there a purpose for going through this time of doing without? And who else better understands than God Himself that there are times that we do experience? He knows this because He sent His Son. And we're going to go into the Scriptures this morning, and we're going to share in a time where Jesus went without. And I want to turn your attention to Matthew this morning, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Pastor John touched on this last week, and this morning I would like to just kind of cover some of this with you to see Jesus' experience. We pick up with Jesus going out into the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to a holy city and made him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him, and the angel came and attended him. This week I was thinking about how good life can be. Because Pastor John pointed out that just before being led out into the wilderness, Jesus had what I liked, Pastor John said, this inauguration, You know, this coming in, this proclamation, this is my son. This is the one who I've chosen. This is the one who I've sent. And I thought about the experience that happened there with the dove, the Spirit falling upon Jesus. This moment that was awesome, a great day. But then immediately after, he was led out into the wilderness to undergo some hard time, some testing. We think, why would God do such a thing? Don't you think that sometimes in your life? I know I do. God, why are you allowing this to happen? Things were going so good. I had a great day yesterday. I had a great month. Everything was just wonderful. But now, it's like somebody turned your life upside down. And you struggle to wonder why God would allow that to happen. Why would you be put in such a place? Well, God has his purposes. God has his plans. When we look at Jesus' experience, I think it's safe to assume that the Father did not speak to him about making provision. Listen, I'm going to lead you out into the wilderness. Make sure you have a warm blanket, something soft to lay your head on. Pack plenty of food with you because you're going to be out there. But instead, the opposite took place, where Jesus went out and spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. There were no provisions. It was just him alone with the Father. The experience of having to count on someone other than himself. Think about it when you and I go through hard times. Who are we counting on? Who are we relying on? Don't you just love when you get to that place where you can't figure out what you're going to do or how you're going to get by or how you're going to make ends meet or how things are going to fall into place? I know I don't. At that time, you and I are having to rely on someone else other than ourselves. You know, the person that we're so used to relying on, counting on, where we have everything set in place, if this should happen or if that should happen. But there are times when we are left quite unprotected, at risk, if only emotionally. How am I going to get through this? At that time, we have to count on someone other than ourselves. And that person is God. Now, it's not a pleasurable experience. And we kind of wonder why God would do such things. Because I think that that's just our natural reaction. We're not used to being uncomfortable. We're not used to doing without. But at times, God puts us in a place. Later on in life, Jesus would learn from that, and he would practice it with his own disciples. So imagine you and I following Jesus, and all of a sudden, him saying, listen, I'm going to send you out. And some of the things that you have seen me do, you're going to go and do. But follow my instructions. I want to send you out, and this is what he says to us. Don't take any money. Don't take any money in your money belts. No gold, no silver, not even a copper coins. In other words, leave your credit cards at home. No bills, no paper, no change, nothing. Go as you are. You would think that at that moment, Jesus was setting you up, setting me up for failure. How does he expect me to do this? How does he expect me to go out and do what he wants me to do when I don't have what I need to do? But you see, the bottom line is, at that moment, he is trying to teach us. But wait a second. I'm unnerved. I'm frightened. I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. Is God being careless with us? Downright neglectful? Is he setting us up for failure? Well, you may think at that moment that you're vulnerable, And maybe at that moment in our lives, we are. But you see, I really do believe that that's part of the experience of what you and I are called to live and experience through the Lenten season. Because we have so much. We're so blessed. But it's at this time, we're actually challenged to think about doing with a little less to get a little more. Sounds contradictory, right? Doing with a little less so as to have a little more. And that little more is the presence of God. One theme that has been getting pounded into my mind and my heart each and every day is the need to experience Him. Today, when we gather here and we have witnessed the children coming up and being a part of our service, we are watching their experience with God. However it happens, the things that they're taught, the music that they learn, the expression of their hearts, they are taking in the experience of, in a young age, of getting to know God. And that's at the heart of God in this Lenten season. I want you to know me. I want you to experience me. But in order to do that, you need to do with a little less. Because those things quite often get in the way of our ability to sense Him, to see Him, to hear Him, because our lives are so full. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it can get in the way of the most essential thing that God intended for us the moment we entered into this world, which was to know Him and experience Him. But of course, in that happening, there's always things that are going to get in the way. The lures and the traps. And as Pastor John shared last week, we are people who like to take the shortcuts. We like the shortcuts. I don't want to have to do without. I don't want to have to, you know, kind of get down on my knees and ask for help. You know, I want to be able to walk with my shoulders back and my head up and believe that I got this, when so often I don't. And Jesus had His lures and His shortcuts. But think about this. If you were taking a walk through a path, right, and you wanted to get from one point to another, and you know that through these woods was a shortcut, you might be tempted to take it. But after going through it, you might end up finding out that you've been covered with quite a few ticks. And they have to take the time to pick them off and to make sure that you haven't been bitten, right? Because that's what happens quite often when we look to take a shortcut. We might make better time, but there are things that come along with that that aren't in our best interest. Jesus was faced with some shortcuts. Satan brought them to Him. And the interesting thing, no matter how they were presented, the nourishment, you know, make bread for yourself so you can eat. The protection, you know you're covered. Come on. God has His angels waiting to catch you. Or the reward that comes along with and in association with worship. If you worship me, all these things I will give you. But yet, Jesus didn't bite. He didn't take. He didn't go for it. And His replies were always based on His relationship to the Father, His experiences with the One that He was connected to. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit let Him out. He had the relationship with the Father. He had exactly what He needed to give the replies to go back to the enemy and say, you know what? I'm not going with this. But it was based on the experience and the time alone with the Father, the times that He spent in fellowship with the Spirit. He had the answers because of that experience. And isn't that what we want our people, our loved ones, and our family to have? So that they don't have to go through life taking the shortcuts and finding the hard way but they can have a way that even though it might take longer and be more difficult, that they find the one who is able to help them and care for them and show them the way. To have the replies that speak of a relationship that God has planted in each of our hearts and so desires to plant in the hearts of others. Those replies that speak of the connection and the relationship we have with Him. Different people throughout the Bible exemplify that kind of relationship. And a person that came to me this week was the person and the man of Job. Job had a relationship with God, bar none. And yet he was tested. And we look at Job's responses. Let's look at it together from Job 1:21. He says, "The Lord alone gives and takes. Praise the name of the Lord." We're talking about a man who had this solid relationship with God, and then everything changes. He gets taken down a path that none of us would want to go down or have to go down. He loses all his children in an accident, a terrible accident. He then gets ripped off by other nations. Every one of his flock, his stock, everything, taken out, wiped out. And if that wasn't enough, he becomes ill. He gets stricken with boils and sores. His life literally falls apart. So to the point that his wife approached him and said, "What are you doing? Why don't you just curse God and die already?" And this is what his reply was. "Don't talk like a fool. If we accept blessings from God, we must accept trouble as well." These are no small replies. If you could put yourself in this man's position, it was a living hell he was going through. Yet his replies were exemplary. And what they did was they expounded on a relationship that he had with a God who he knew loved him regardless of his circumstances. A God who had blessed him. And just because the bottom dropped out and all these blessings were gone and wiped out, did not change the reality of the relationship that he had with God, because they were not based on these temporal things. They were based on a real relationship with a living person that he spent time with and experienced. And in part, in a huge part, this is what God is seeking to express to us in this Lenten season. A time where we take time to do without a few simple pleasures. Because within that is a God who wants to get his hands on our hearts and to warm them and to tell us how much he cares and how much he loves us, how much he knows every aspect of our lives, the good and the bad and the ugly. And he's with us. He's with us. The relationships that we have in life, especially with him, contain a lot of give and take. A lot. Jesus had that experience within his own walk in life and with others. His was one of continual giving, but also continual taking. And his desire was, as much as he gave to those around him, as much as he gives to you and me in our lives and in our walk, his desire is to take from us. But what? I said it, to take us. To take us along with him on the journey in this life, to take us along with him into the next one. His give and take is always and ultimately one huge giving. One huge loving experience that he wants to pour out upon us. His giving always means life for us, health for us, provisions for us. And all we have to do is just give a little. Each one of us are at different places in our lives, and things that he might ask of one, he does not necessarily ask of another. But his desire is so that he can take us along with him. That's his greatest desire. Imagine if the bus pulled up outside the church this morning, and you knew this bus was going to a place that you really desired to go to. You would make sure you want to get a seat on that bus. That's God's desire, that you and I get the seat, that we get on the bus and we make the trip, that we have that experience with him. And ultimately, he is calling us to that. And he was willing to do without so that you and I could have that experience of eternal life, to know his will for our lives. And so when we gather here, this is always, as I think I said some weeks ago, this is part of the fingers that are pointing the way. The children came today and they helped because God used them to help point a way to him. This is what we have learned. This is what we have experienced. And we want to tell you about it. We want to share it with you. And they did. And every time we gather here, when Pastor Nick gets up and the band gets up, they are the fingers of God. In the messages that they sing, they are pointing to the one who can offer us, who offers us day in and day out life. Life that he wants to share with us. And so this morning, where are you at on the journey? Where are you at in the journey? How were you this week? Did you spend any quiet time? I want to say something to you that everybody might not agree. It's not about being so successful in those quiet times or the things that you might be fasting or giving up for Lent if you've kind of fallen off and you've missed the mark a day. See, because those are just the fingers pointing to the one. The goal is, the desire is to connect to the one. These means of letting go and doing without are all so that you can experience him. Those are just means to the end. Christ being the end. And so if you've fallen off the mark, or maybe you haven't even gotten started, what's Lent, you know? What's this thing, you know? Other churches do this. Why are we doing this? I don't know what you're thinking. But the bottom line, it's all about connecting to the one who's on the other end of it, who wants to connect with you, who wants to get in and spend time with you, spend time with me. And so if you haven't been so successful or you haven't started, you can start today. You could start tomorrow. If you've fallen off, get back up. Try again. But with the intent of not being so successful about doing that thing and succeeding at that as much as connecting to the one who came for us, who made the journey, who loves us, who gave himself for us. That's the prize. That's the prize. See? The children today came and shared a piece of their prize. They're singing. They're sharing the scriptures. That's it. Right? That's the prize, pointing to the one who loves us. Where are you at on the journey? Because it's all about having him come up alongside of you, and you alongside of him, and experiencing him. Let's take time to pray. Fathers, we take this moment. Pray, O God, send your spirit. Especially send your spirit to those, oh God, who find themselves in doing without or the fear of what might happen if something were taken from them. Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would learn to rely on someone else other than ourselves, upon you. And may we today, Lord God, touch you and you touch us. Lord, take us with you on this journey. Show us the way. Teach us your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Let's stand together and sing of God's love. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 I could sing of your love forever.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you for your love, O God. We will sing for eternity in your presence. God, I pray your blessing on your people. And as we go from here, we never lose sight of you. You're with us wherever. In the tough times, in the good times, it's all about you. Bless, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. There's some fellowship downstairs, and then come right back up for our annual meeting. So you're dismissed.